Welcome back to another Geeks Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdown Show, sponsored by DFSArmy.com and Skybook Sportsbook. My name is Kevin Allen. I am your host. I'm the lead NFL coach slash contributor at DFS Army. And what we're going to do today is break down the four slate divisional round NFL playoff game. I'm super excited to watch these games. There's lots and lots of exciting high-scoring fantasy point action set for this weekend. But before we get into that, I have to talk about our sponsors. Skybook Sportsbook is giving away $200 in free play prizes. If you sign up at skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before February 3rd and mention promo code DFS1000, you could get a chance to win one of these $200 prizes. Winners will be announced here on February 8th. Skybook is the home of the free half point. Take advantage and move lines half a point in your favor. Guys, that's awesome, by the way. You usually have to pay to move the line a half a point. That's a big deal. You know, three-point spread in an NFL game. If you can get it to 2.5 for free, that's huge. That's a big margin. Like I said, give them a call, 1-888-759-2665. That's 1-888-759-2665. And use promo code DFS1000 to be eligible. All right, here we go. Divisional round playoff action. We've got a couple of really exciting games and a couple of, I think, less exciting games to look at this weekend. So it starts with the Colts heading out to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Chiefs are home favored by 5.5 points, and the Skybook Sportsbook game total here is 57. Now, this line is actually up a little bit, both the spread and the game total, which I love a rising game total, since it opened, and for good reason. Both of these teams can score at will. Now, the Colts bring an actual the Chiefs have a terrible defense. They give up the most points in the league to wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks. They really get smashed defensively and running backs. Like, they're just terrible across the board defensively, but they keep winning because they can outscore you. Now, the Colts come in with a deceptively good defense across the board. They've done a great job against the running back position, middling ranking. They're one of the top higher ranked teams. I wouldn't say one of the top ranked teams against wide receivers, giving up the fifth fewest fantasy points per game to the position. But I'm throwing all of that out. You're not slowing down Kansas City at Kansas City. At least, you're not likely to slow them down too much. And if you think that they can slow them down that much, then you might want to bet the under on this particular game, which I'm not planning on doing. So I think it's very difficult to slow down Mahomes and crew. Their offense is borderline unstoppable, or it has been all season long. There's no reason not to expect more excitement. And this is the game of the weekend. There's only four games to choose from. This is the most exciting. A, the game total is significantly above all of the others. 57 points. The next closest is 51. So it's significantly above all of the others. We've got two teams that can score. And the Colts, what I love about them is they could put up numbers too. They've been fantastic. Just the second half of the season, I've been riding Andrew Luck like crazy. And the only time he really hasn't had a great game is when they've leaned on Marlon Cheeto Mack at the running back position to do their scoring, which we saw against Dallas in particular, and we've seen it a couple times this season where their opponent really couldn't score. But when Luck gets into a shootout, man, he can sling it. And we know Mahomes can sling it. So there's a lot of goodness here in this game. This is the one to stack. We know that Kansas City is terrible against tight ends. Fire up Eric Ebron. But this is a Colts team that plays mostly zone defense. And that also opens things up for tight ends up the middle. Hello, Travis Kelce. So I love both tight ends here. Marlon Cheeto Mack is in a great spot. The guy is coming off of a 24-touch game. His usage has been off the charts the last few weeks. He really has evolved into a feature back on this Colts team. Last week, they didn't give any touches to Nyheim Hines. Now, of course, that game flow dictated that sort of approach, and that might not be the case this week. If the Colts fall behind, I do expect to see a little more Cheeto, a little more Nyheim Hines in there. So, you know, he's kind of a sleeper play in the Colts fall behind approach, but that's not a cash game or high-dollar game approach at all, because if the Colts keep it close or even are leading in this thing, then I fully expect Marlon Mack to be the guy throughout. Now, the Kansas City running game is interesting because you've got Damian Williams and Spencer Ware. I assume Spencer Ware is going to come back. The Chiefs are a team that forgets about the running game on occasion. Even when they had Kareem Hunt in there, they would sometimes just forget to use him. And that's just how Andy Reid has always been. That used to happen with Jamaal Charles too. And we'd be like, how come you only gave Jamaal Charles 10 touches this game? And he goes, I did? Oh, yeah, I need to do better. You know, that's just Andy Reid. He forgets to call running plays. I don't know why. I'm not sure if it's planned or that just happens. But it just is what it is. So that said, this Colts team has done a pretty good job against running backs. They were able to stifle Zeke Elliott and Saquon Barkley in games towards the end of the season. They did a pretty good job against Lamar Miller in the first game in the playoffs. So Miller did fine, but you know, he didn't exactly run all over them. And this Colts defense has just been solid all across the board. That said, I think Damian Williams is the better play of the two running backs that might play for Kansas City. He looked really explosive when they've given him opportunities. But beware of Spencer Ware, because if Spencer Ware is in there and he's getting all the passing game work, or if they're splitting touches on this low-volume running attack, it's really not going to be great. Marlon Mack is, I would say, underpriced across the industry. I think he is one of the best plays of the weekend on a points per dollar basis, both on DraftKings and on FanDuel. For the wide receivers in this game, here's what happens with Kansas City. I mean, number one, on the Kansas City side, we've got Reek Hill. We've got maybe Sammy Watkins coming back, and we don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think he will be back. I'm not sure how much he's going to play. He's been out for a while, so there are some volume concerns that I have with Sammy Watkins. But the salary level is very attractive on him, and if he's out there in the highest total, high-flying, high-scoring game of the week, then we want to get some exposure there just in case. I really like Hill in games where Kansas City has actually needed to score. That's where Hill does his best work. Hill's another player that can sometimes be forgotten. And I was looking at Hill compared to T.Y. Hilton. Very similar. The only difference for me is Hilton has all of these kind of injuries going on, these ankle issues and whatnot. And his production has been down just a smidge since he's been having those problems, especially the last couple of weeks. You know, we're not doctors here. We don't know. He's out there every play. He looks pretty good. But his efficiency has been down. If you look at the past couple of weeks, 10 targets, 5 receptions, 6 targets, 2 receptions. You know, is that happening just random chance? Or is he so inefficient because he's not quite himself? I don't know. But it adds an element of risk that I don't think we have with Tyreek Hill. And, you know, like I said, if Kansas City's needing to score, they're gonna throw bombs to Hill. He's so good. He's such a great player that I don't even care that the Colts are 5th overall in points allowed to the wide receiver position. They're the Colts. You can't take those numbers too much to heart. They've played terrible teams. They've played in the AFC South where they faced Tennessee twice and they faced Jacksonville twice. They have a lot of bad opponents. So I think those numbers are deceiving. They play Dallas. You know, they don't score much. Yeah, I don't want to go through the whole thing, but I think those numbers can be deceiving even at the end of a season, especially in the AFC South where there's a lot of mediocre offenses being featured. All right, next up on the docket, we've got the Rams at home, 7-point favorites, taking on the Cowboys. Skybook Sportsbook set the game total here at 49.5 points. So the late game on Saturday, we have a little bit more of still a high-scoring expected affair. But I'm going to say a little less likely to be an extreme shootout. Dallas plays a very slow type of an offense or offensive approach where they really want to lean on the run with Zeke Elliott, feed him the rock, and keep the ball out of the opponent's hands. We've seen them use that at New Orleans to get a win against an otherwise high-scoring Saints offense where they completely shut them down. So if Dallas is getting the running game going, and if Zeke is doing his thing, then this Dallas team can really limit opponent scoring. At quarterback, the matchup isn't spectacular for Jared Goff here, mainly because Dallas has allowed only 17.8 DraftKings points per game to opposing quarterbacks. That's good for 10th overall. And in essence, the reason that happens is because they are able to control the clock. They're able to keep the ball out of their opponent's hands. And that kind of leads to lower scoring output from their opponents. It's that simple. That's how they're pulling this off. So, you know, when you have a slate or a day where you have a choice between Mahomes, Luck, or Goff and Prescott, I mean, it's an easy choice to go to Luck or Mahomes, who are the premium plays of the entire weekend at quarterback position and certainly on the Saturday slate. At wide receiver, though, you know, we want to try to find anywhere where we can find some useful pieces. And one area I'm looking at is wide receiver, particularly for the Rams, where the wide receiver position has been priced down a bit due to I don't know if I'm going to call it a perceived or a straight up bad matchup with this Dallas secondary, who's been very good at limiting opposing fantasy scoring outputs. They are ranked 7th overall, giving up 31.2 points per game to enemy wide receivers. That said, the price drop on both Woods and Cooks, I think, is a little bit too much here on both sides. FanDuel, yes, a little bit, but more so DraftKings, where they're sub 6K for both of those, in essence, studly wide receivers. They're at home. My preferred play is Robert Woods out of the slot because Dallas's outside cornerback play is better than their slot corner play. So Woods seems to project to be in the best spot of any of these guys. That's the way I would go. I'm not so high on the Dallas passing game at all here. I think if they're winning this game or doing anything, they're going to be controlling it via the run. The Rams have pretty good cornerback play, and the Cowboys really only have one quality wide receiver in Amari Cooper right now. I know Dallas fans, don't write me. I know about Michael Gallup. I'm aware. Please, don't DM me about him. The reality is, you know, Gallup is fine, but he's so inefficient. He got so many targets last week, he couldn't do anything with them. 6 targets, 2 receptions. That is the story of his season. He's just not efficient enough. Is it a connection with Dak that's not quite clicking yet? I don't know. Look at some of these numbers. 2 receptions on 6 targets. 3 receptions on 6 targets. That's against the Giants. They had a 3 of 4 against the Tampa, so good job there. 4 of 9 against Philly. That's less than 50%. 5 of 7. 2 of 6 against Washington, under 50%. Those are bad numbers. He's not efficient. He's not catching the passes going his way. I don't know if he's in the wrong spot or Dak can't hit him. I don't know. But it's super risky. So really, they only have one good guy right now, and that is Amari Cooper. Cooper has been great on the road. He's like a very, very volatile player. Certainly always GPP viable, tournament viable, but not somebody I'm excited to roll out on the road in a tough matchup in anything outside of my mass multi-entry approach. Or, of course, you got to play these guys on these showdowns somewhat. Now, at running back, and this is where it gets very tricky. So we have 2 stud running backs featured in this game. They are the 2 most expensive, and both are rated fairly well in the DFS Army rating system for this weekend, by the way. You know, Gurley is at one of the cheapest prices he's been at in a long time on DraftKings at around 8K. He's still fairly expensive on FanDuel at 9,000, but not for Gurley. I mean, he's been up at 10,000. The issue is he's got all kinds of knee injuries, right? And we don't know how much he's going to play. He did not play the last few games of the regular season. And now we have a quote from the coach talking about how CJ Anderson and Gurley are going to kind of be splitting time and both will get a lot of action. I don't like that. Gurley's superpower is his volume. You know, when they're doing Gurley the way they do Gurley, he's getting 25, 27, 28 touches in a game. I don't want the version of Gurley that only gets 15 touches and splits with CJ Anderson. Certainly not for the salary that they're asking, and certainly not with better options available down low. And probably not even though the matchup is good in the sense of being a home favorite, which is where we want to attack the running back position from, Dallas is pretty good against running backs, 23.9 points per game to the position, ranked 12th overall. So not a spectacular on-paper matchup either. Again, that said, it's hard to forget Marlon Chito Mack putting up over 150 yards on this Cowboys defense just a couple of weeks ago. Teams play worse on the road than they do at home. Always favor home teams. Now, Zeke Elliott, on the other hand, has a, you know, again, he's played better at home, but this isn't a bad matchup. He's got a really high floor. He's always going to get a lot of touches. Rams, middling 16th overall ranking in fantasy points allowed to a running back, so not too bad. Now, the difference between Zeke and Gurley is there ain't spelling Zeke for anybody. He's going to be out there. He's going to get most of the snaps. If the game is close, he's going to get 20-plus touches. That's just how Zeke do. That's what Zeke do. All right, next up on the docket, to start off the Sunday slate, we've got the Patriots at home taking on the Chargers. Patriots are favored by 4 in this one, and Skybook Sportsbook has the game total here at 46.5 points. Now, just a brief overview here of this game. Let's start on the Chargers side. They have a very, very good defense across the board. They're particularly good against the pass, where they're ranked 6th overall in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks, only 16.3 points per game, which is very low. Does not bode well for Tom Terrific at home. Doesn't mean they're not going to win the game. It just means it could, the chances here, the best way to attack this Chargers defense is probably not going to be, you know, a pass-heavy approach. Not saying it can't be, but it probably wouldn't be. Now, on the flip side, the Patriots have given up a reasonably high number of points per game to quarterbacks, 19.9, good for 20th overall. But they sport a secondary that's really fantastic, and I'm not sure that that's going to suit Phillip Rivers and company well in terms of attacking via the air either. Between Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore, we're talking Gilmore number one or number two overall cornerback rated in the league this season, McCourty top 20. So these are really good guys. So I'm a little bit concerned about Rivers and his passing game, particularly his top two guys, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I do like the idea of attacking the Patriots via the run, because that's where the Chargers have been vulnerable, and on vice versa, the Patriots have been a little more vulnerable to running backs than they have to pass catchers. Again, a number is deceiving because they haven't given up a lot of touchdowns, but they give up a lot of yards to the running back position, which puts Melvin Gordon smack in the middle of great play status. He's underpriced this week. I love Melvin Gordon. Again, the concern with him, much like with Gurley, is injury. We saw him in a scary moment come out of the game against the Ravens last week. That came back in there. It wasn't the knee that's been bothering him. It was the other knee. But now he's got two messed up knees. It's a little scary. Now, DraftKings dropped his salary tremendously for the slate, and they're enticing us to buy. I'm having a hard time saying no. I love a bargain. You know, you ever go to the supermarket and, you know, that big flashing half price sale? I don't even want it. But sometimes when something's on sale for half price, I just buy it. I'm like, hey, I show up at home. I show up at the house. I'm like, why do I have this? Who's going to eat this? But YOLO. I wanted to, you know, it was half price. So winner. That's how I roll. Anyway, I like Melvin Gordon here. On the flip side, the Patriots running back situation is a little sketchier. The good thing is it's a very good matchup. Chargers giving up 22nd most points per game. Not 22nd most. They're ranked 22nd in points per game allowed to the running back position. Let's get that right. The issue with the Patriots running back crew is that there are so many of them. You've got Sony Michel doing the grinder work. You've got James White doing the passing down work, and you've got Rex Burkhead kind of the all-in fill-in guy. So who the hell do we trust here? Well, I'll tell you one thing. FanDuel and DraftKings have very different salaries, particularly for James White this week, and that is an easy eliminate of James White on FanDuel and a play him on DraftKings situation where he's 4,900 versus a 7K price point on FanDuel. Doesn't make sense to me. Why would I pay more? So White has been used less in recent weeks, mainly because you've got Michelle and you've got Rex Burkhead, and it's not like it was earlier in the season when it was just him. But we have seen two things. We've seen, number one, James White just beast in the playoffs in his past. We've seen that. And number two, this matchup just is conducive to him because the Chargers have excellent defensive backs, which should be able to take out, you know, Edelman and whatever turds the Patriots are rolling out on the outside. They've also been fairly good against the tight end position. So who are you going to throw to? James White. I could see him being used, you know, as an extra wide receiver in certain sets. I could see him getting, I think he almost has a floor of 5 targets. I could see it going up to 7 or even 8 targets in this game, which is not bad on DraftKings for his $4,900 price point. Sony Michel is in play, more of a Patriots kind of, Michel needs touchdowns to make value. It's as simple as that. He'll probably need 2 to get you where you need to be, which is a tall ask. I understand it. But the Patriots are going to run this guy on the goal line. That is his role. And every once in a while, you know, you'll get Burkhead in there, vulturing one. But for the most part, Sony is going to be getting the most volume out of any of the Patriots running backs. I would expect him to get 13 to 17 carries here and a bunch of goal line carries. He's going to need to punch one in to make value, though. At wide receiver for the Chargers, I mean, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams are in play. If you want to go crazy with Terrell Williams, just basically saying, hey, the Patriots have 2 very good defensive backs. They'll put them on the best guys, and, you know, Tyrell Williams will be running free. Okay, it's possible. It's plausible. On the Patriots side, it's just Edelman at this point. Dorsett and Hogan are just punts, you know, prayer, wish, hope, and pray situations. I don't want any of that. And finally, tight end. I mean, we'll see the premiere of Hunter Henry for the Chargers this week. Normally, I'd love that. You know, he's in a great spot. I mean, tight end, it would be so great. But we have to know how much he's going to play before really having any sort of a trust situation with Hunter Henry. What I like is how cheap he is. 2,800 on DraftKings is borderline free square material. But it is, you know, that tight end spot is pretty valuable this week with Travis Kelce, Eric Ebron, Zach Ertz, and even Gronk sub 5K on this slate. It's tough. Tough to want to just punt it. Now, Hunter Henry would be in a great spot if we knew he was going to be out there the whole game, but he's coming off a long-term injury, and who the hell knows? All right, the last game of the divisional round. Saints at home. Favored by 8. Taking on the Eagles. Skybook Sportsbook game total here is 51 points. And this game is interesting, and it's the second most interesting game of the week for me from a quarterback/wide receiver perspective, because defensively, both of these teams are lacking in those areas. So let's start with the Saints. I mean, they're taking on an Eagles defense that's been decimated by injuries. Drew Brees has the best matchup on the slate, or one of the best. I would say Andrew Luck has the best, but he's on the road. So let's call it second best matchup on the slate. He's at home. He's taking on an Eagles defense that bleeds they bleed 20.7 points per game to opposing quarterbacks. That's good for 25th overall. That's very, very bad, actually. The Eagles secondary has been decimated. And more so, Drew Brees is just a beast at home. So I can see, you know, sometimes you get these games where they lean on a run, and sometimes Brees just does Brees things. He's got Teddy Ginn back. He's got Mike Thomas. There's a lot of weapons for Brees to work with right now. Of course, Kamara. So they've got a lot going on now. The primary stack for me is obviously going to be Michael Thomas. He's their top guy, but he's also very, very expensive. I like Ted Ginn Jr. a ton here. They actually got him a lot of work in week 16. And they rested him week 17. He didn't play, obviously, last week, so he's had even more time to heal up from whatever his injuries were and practice with the team and whatnot. So hopefully he's got the rust knocked off and he's ready to roll. Breeze is a quarterback that can put up six touchdowns in a game like this, especially against this Eagles defense. They've already destroyed the Eagles once this season. I believe it was back in week 12. So I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do that again. And I think the outlook for Breeze gets even better if the Eagles can compete, if Foles is having a good game, which makes the whole stacking concept here much, much better than it could have been. Because basically, if Breeze is having a big game, I would assume that the Eagles are scoring too. Because if not, they're just going to lean on the run and sit on the football in the fourth quarter, play a conservative. I expect Breeze will be having a good game, and I actually think that Foles and the Eagles' offense will do just fine. Again, Foles faces a Saints defense ranked 31st overall in fantasy points per allowed to opposing quarterbacks, meaning you basically couldn't get a better draw than this one. They're taking on the team that gives up the most, second most points, but the most points in the playoffs to opposing quarterbacks and wide receivers. Agholor, Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate all did fine last week. Golden Tate had a really nice game. And I think both Agholor and Tate match up really well here because the Saints' defensive weakness has been versus the slot. It's a common theme, but that is a thing. And so when Golden Tate's in the game, he slides into the slot. When he's out of the game, they put Agholor into the slot. It's kind of weird. They split touches. But they're both pretty good. They're both usable there. I think Golden Tate is a more talented player. But, you know, it's just going to be about who's in the game longer and who Foles chooses to throw to in this situation. Could be anyone. Could be any one of them. Alshon Jeffrey, good spot. Ertz, not as great of a spot. This Saints defense has been pretty good versus tight ends. Ertz is still a stud. Don't get me wrong. He's priced significantly below Kelce this week. But again, I think it's matchup based. And whenever DraftKings in particular drops a price on someone, you should take note. It's usually an indicator that they're in a tough matchup. And if you look at these matchups, it's very clear. Kelce taking on a 30th-ranked Colts tight end defense. Ebron taking on a 31st-ranked Kansas City defense. And Ertz taking on a 7th-ranked Saints defense. So it just makes sense to go with the two guys who are facing the worst defenses. And if I need a sleeper at tight end, it's Blake Jarwin taking on the 24th-ranked LA Rams defense. There we go. All right, at running back, the Saints running back position, obviously it's been an RBBC a little bit, but Kamara is the wheel that drives that whole team. Eagles are middle of the pack against running backs, 19th overall, 25.4 points per game. And in the first meeting, it was actually Ingram. It was a route, and Ingram did most of the damage. He scored 2 touchdowns in that one and put up a big number. My thing is in the playoffs, I think they're going to go with their best guy, their most explosive player. No reason to rest Kamara. Their team does better when he's in there. So I expect that Kamara is going to get a heavy usage as well in a great, great spot. On the flip side, I don't really like anything to do with the Eagles running game in this particular contest. Wendy Smalls, he's just okay. Sproles has a revenge narrative, but I don't really believe in those. And Josh Adams, I mean, he just doesn't project well going up against this 4th-ranked Saints run defense. You know, some between-the-tackles grinder is not going to have a lot of success. Of course, I said that when Henry was going up against, when Derrick Henry was going up against the Jaguars and he destroyed them, but this isn't the Jaguars. These are the Saints at home, and they're a very, very solid run defense indeed. All right, that's it for this Geeks Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns pod. Again, remember to go to dfsarmy.com, sign up as a VIP member. We have a promotion going right now. Use promo code NEWYEAR and you get 20% off your membership. We never do that. So that's freaking awesome if you haven't done it. It's for new members only. In addition, check out Skybook Sportsbook. and use promo code DFS1000. Sign up there. Put up a $200 deposit. You get entered in the raffle for another $200. You get the home of the free half point. That alone is worth signing up. If you're a true sports bettor, you understand the value of a free half point. I mean, if you don't, then you shouldn't be doing this stuff. Because the margins in sports betting, especially on football, are so slim that you give me half a point every single time, and that's huge. That will make the difference between winning or losing money over time. So you should check them out. And I will be back, DFS Army VIPs. If you're a DFS Army VIP subscriber, I'll be back tomorrow night with my Players Club VIP solo podcast, where I'll break down these games a little more in depth, kind of concentrate a little bit more on lineup construction, and get into further detail about how to construct lineups for some of these slates that we have going this weekend. So good luck, everyone. Enjoy the games. And, you know, I'll see you guys in the lobby.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Game.